Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, Captain Kirk.
Yes,
sir. Mr. Scott.
The charming negress. Oh, forgive me, my dear. I know that in my time some use that term as a description of property.
But why should I object to that term, sir? You see, in our century, we've learned not to fear words.
May I present our communications officer, Lieutenant Uhura? The foolishness of my century had me apologizing where no offense was given.
We've each learned to be delighted with what we are.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space to exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Our apologies for the delayed start. It appears we're going to have to get new systems, obviously. This is the Midweek in Review edition of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. Captain, let's just get beyond all histrionics because we're just running too late. And again, our apologies. Captain, what's up?
Yes, sir. Let's get started.
Let's just get into it. These things happen. It is what it is. To quote the infamous Mike Carroll, it is what it is. Listen, folks, we're going to go down the list very quickly. We have less than an hour. We've got about 47 minutes, so we're just going to go. We might play one or two songs, but for the most part, we're just going to bum rush this thing. Number one, I think we should revisit the After Earth deal. The Smiths, that is Jaden and Will Smith, have a film that's, I guess, within the first week of release. And we discussed it actually a couple of times during the last broadcast. But, Captain, you left a message with me previously, and you wanted to even dig in on this. I think there's more to it. I know Sergio Mims, friend of the show, noted film critic from Chicago, he just hated this movie because he thought that there were just too many things going on, Scientology, the Smiths suck. He had his opinion. But according to this article, I think it's from News One, newsone.com, they unpacked on this work, and they came up with racial overtones. Not that the movie was racist, but that the critique of it might be racist. And I don't know if we weighed in on it that way. I don't know how you feel about it, but you were very passionate in having left that message earlier. So what are your thoughts? You wanted to get into this thing for a minute. What is the deal, in your opinion, with After Earth?
All right, first and foremost, when it comes to black people in general do not like to be criticized. When you put your work out on the world stage, your peers become everybody. Everybody you appear becomes your peers. This is the same thing that happens with black quarterbacks. People do not want black quarterbacks criticized. But if your work is shoddy, your work is shoddy. Some people are claiming racism with this movie due to the bad critique. They say people do not want to see a black man with his son on the big screen. Stop right there, black people. I know you're emotionally damaged. I understand that. And when you're emotionally damaged, you do not have the ability to think critically at times. I understand that. I understand that. Go back 2006. Same actor, father and son, Pursuit of Happiness. People love the movie. People love the movie. Will Smith, father and son, they love the movie. Now, what would people turn around and say? Well, we didn't have a president in the second term, a black president in the second term. Maybe it's too much blackness going on. Give me a break. The main reason why I did not see this movie, I'm not emotionally attached to the father and son situation. I was raised with my father. Thank goodness for that. What is important to me is to see a good movie. Now, I have an ability that a lot of people say, a lot of my friends will say, it's borderline clairvoyant. I'll look at the trailer and say, eh, don't go see that. I'll look at the trailer and say, go see this. So they respect my opinions a lot of times. Borderline clairvoyant. I looked at this trailer. I'm not emotionally attached to this situation. It didn't look like it's a good movie. Now, where the racism may come in, where you black people miss the mark, is M. Night Shyamalan. When his movies drop, you go on IMDb, even before they, let's back up, even before they drop, people make disparaging comments all over the place. They do not like him, the director of the movie. And who is M. Night Shyamalan? He's Asian Indian, if you understand what that is. So there might be racism towards him. And if you look at the movies that he has done, the only great movie he really has had, as far as I'm concerned, is The Sixth Sense. He's all right, but he's extremely arrogant, too. Hollywood insiders, they have a problem with Brett Ratner. Brett Ratner's all right, extremely arrogant. Another very arrogant filmmaker, but you cannot stop him because he's so powerful, Quentin Tarantino, which I consider a great filmmaker. You cannot stop him. So here comes M. Night Shyamalan, acting like a Quentin Tarantino. They have a problem with anything he does. Not with Will Smith. Not with his son. Yeah, his son might not be the best actor. But remember, go back to 2006, the movie. People love that father and son combination. They just don't happen to like this one. Maybe the movie just was not good. That's just what it is. And maybe people have a problem with the director. Not with Will Smith and his son at the end of the day. This is where, as a black person, you have to have critical thinking. Now, I know Sergio Mims said, the hell with this movie. And I also know Afro Nerd seemed to like the movie. But me, I split the difference in the two. I did not see the movie. I split the difference in the two. Your opinion, Sir Afro Nerd, hey, the movie was legitimate. It wasn't as bad as people make it out to see. And Sergio Mims said the movie was like, all right, get out of here. Give me a good movie. So from that aspect, I split the difference of the two, and I'd say the movie's not really a good movie. But keep in mind, I did not see the movie. But black people on the world stage have to realize you cannot play the race card all the time. Sometimes it is valid. A lot of times it's not valid. You have to be able to be criticized for your work if a non-black person comes in and criticizes your work. That's it. That's the reality of it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is the Midweek in Review, our Midweek Musings, the 5th of June, 2013, the year of our Lord. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Just waxing a bit more, a skosh more, on the latest Will Smith and son work, After Earth, sci-fi film. And I did not, as the captain has so aptly said, I did not dislike the film. I guess what my thinking was, and I'm going to read a little bit from the News One piece that's claiming racism. I thought that there were other things going on, that they were a bit overboard in the critique. They could have critiqued it. Some said that it was mediocre. Okay, I can give that. But some also said this is the worst movie of the year. Now, come on. There have been some real, real clunkers this year. So it's by far not the worst movie of the year. And a lot of things were he's pushing his son on us. Well, in a few moments, we're going to talk about Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas is the scion of Kirk Douglas. I mean, you know, what about the Sheens? I mean, there are a number of, I mean, where have they been? Nepotism isn't exactly a new invention in Hollywood. So when they're saying these people are pushing these kids on us, they have to be very careful. Let's calibrate how we view these things. Let's be fair. So that's where it gets a little murky for me when some folks went beyond the movie being just kind of milquetoast and saying it's the worst movie ever done. They really were taking it. There's some movies that were just really bad. So when they were talking about it from that perspective, the critics, when you actually saw the film and having seen it in a fairly large audience in the mornings, which is another thing I mentioned in the last broadcast, I was somewhat shocked to see so many people at this particular theater this early, whereas I've seen other movies that were proclaimed blockbusters, and at that time, not that many people. This one, not a blockbuster, but when I saw the film, there was a lot of people there. That just happened to be just a kind of an incidental thing. Anyway, I also noticed that folks had a fairly positive reaction. The group that I saw this film with, that the audience that I was with, they had a fairly positive reaction. No one was ready to hurl their cookies after seeing the film. And the film, if one were to say it's predictable, and listen, what film really isn't? The fact that it was predictable, where you had that triumphant ending, folks reacted to it. They wanted to see the triumphant ending. There was an emotional release, and you heard that in the theater. So I said, I looked around. People were kind of, okay, this movie went off very well. I mean, what's going on with the audience reaction being different than what you would expect based on the critics? Now, I'm going to go quickly to News 1, and then we're going to move along. You know, we're too much on this thing. But I thought it was interesting to note that someone is putting out the race card on this thing. And as the captain also said, and I have to agree with him in this regard, we try to be laser specific when we talk about race. I do think that many black folk, not all black people, a disturbing number of black folks overly rely on racism to explain away everything. That I agree with the captain implicitly. When race is in there, when race is in the mix, then you have to call it for what it is. But when it's not always race, you have to be prepared to deal with that. But having racism as the answer, to reference M. Night Shyamalan, his first pick, The Sixth Sense, some of us have, I see racist all the time. Just, just like the character in Sixth Sense said, I see ghosts. I see dead people. You have black folks that roll in a fashion of, I see racists all the time. No. Let me read this quickly and we'll move along. Now, again, folks, go to news1.com. And the piece is entitled, Is Will and Jaden Smith's After Earth Being Sabotaged by Racists? Now, it says here, this past weekend was a huge movie weekend with Now You See Me, Fast and Furious 6, and After Earth, vying to become blockbuster king. On Monday, the numbers rolled in, and critics of After Earth seemingly rejoiced at Will Smith and son Jaden's dismal showing at the box office. After Earth came in third, garnering only $27 million, compared with Fast and Furious 6's first place landing and $34.54 million profit. But whether you are a professional critic or pedestrian moviegoer alike, was After Earth's so-called weak showing a result of poor acting and plot, as some profess, or does Hollywood and some Americans have a problem with a star such as Will having the audacity to think that more than one black actor can live in the limelight at his or her own choosing? Excuse me. Let's see. By Sunday, every high-profile critic panned After Earth. Slate, even with his charismatic dad in his earpiece calling the shots, Jaden can't turn himself into a movie star by sheer force of will. Obviously, that's a double entendre there. Chicago Sun-Times. As for the plot, I guess recycling remains in vogue centuries from now. New York Daily News. Summer 2013 has its first bomb, and sadly, it's landed right on Will Smith. The Village Voice. I fear Jaden might face online wrath for his performance here, especially thanks to the numb-tongued Kiwi accent he's forced to adopt. He's not bad, especially, but he's a kid asked to do the extraordinary. Compel us as he pretends to do ridiculous bull-s. As Will Smith coldly instructs him to feel, to root in this moment now, to master his own creation, I felt the purest horror I ever have at a Shyamalan film. What if this is what Jaden Smith's life is really like? All right. Now this is what the person says that wrote the article. But the funny thing is, in the New Jersey theater where I viewed the movie, with a nearly packed house, viewers actually clapped at the end of the movie, suggesting the film had met their expectations, if not exceeded them. For those of you who haven't seen the movie yet, After Earth is a movie that, with a post-human Earth backdrop, explores Kate is Jaden's character, Kate's journey in attempting to connect with his father, Cypher, which is Will, while essentially coming into his own. All right, so it goes on and on, and they do mention the connection between Pursuit of Happiness, but they have a thing for that too, Kirk. They're saying that, well, Pursuit of Happiness was Jaden as a kid, as a little kid, and then you have these two that are powerless, kind of you're getting into the whole meme of poverty porn, you know, again, meeting a certain social class expectation. Although they overcome that, the beginning is you see black folks stressed out. In this one, you see an empowered black person in the future with his son not really taking any shorts. So that's why, you know, you gotta kind of calibrate, measure up, weigh what are you seeing. Because I was like you, I really was hesitant to see the film in the first place. I just wanted to support Will Smith because I will admit I'm biased in his appearance. I'm biased in the fact that we have so many overt minstrels. That when a black father and son in a sci-fi movie, whereas Tyler Perry reigns supreme, I'm going to have to gravitate toward that. I got to gravitate towards a guy in the future commanding a ship over a 6'5" sexually ambiguous man who is in a dress for the umpteenth time. That's the only reason why I conceded to Will Smith. But your opinion is duly noted, and there might be something there. And also, you are right. We have to call crap when it's crap. I'm just not so sure about this film. I'm just not sure. I would suggest you check out the film, pick it up on maybe as a rental when you are in your own world and you're able to kind of really analyze it at your own time. You might want to check it out, maybe not so much in the theater, but you might want to see it at some other later time. And listen. People didn't understand Blade Runner either. Blade Runner was panned when it came out in the early 80s. Now we're looking at a Blade Runner sequel 30-some-odd years later. So you never know how these things actually work out. All right, Captain.
Hold on. Just to add as a caveat, keep in mind it has not come out overseas as of yet. So
that's true, too.
There's a lot of movies that do not necessarily do well here in the States, and they pick up big. That's what kept Oblivion going. Oblivion did all right here, but it was huge overseas. So we'll see what happens come next week.
Well, I hope that might happen where he really has a big showing just for S and giggles. I was thinking of a film. It was a remake, guy with Jack Black that went nowhere here in the States. What is
that?
Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, Gulliver's Travels, yes.
Gulliver's Travels, the Lilliputians and, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And now, actually, I saw that as a DVD. Didn't dislike it. It was okay. You know, it was okay. It was just adequate. And I remember it because sometimes if you have a Western sense of mind or I should say an American sense of mind, you think, well, if it didn't do anything over here, it didn't do anything. I checked Wiki and I said, holy crap, this thing made like $350 million.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, but it didn't make hardly anything over here. Almost all of its money, let's say three quarters of its money came from overseas. So you don't know what to call something as a flop when, you know, the fat lady hasn't finished singing yet. We don't know that yet. Matter of fact, I want to dovetail into something else, kind of on the same issue. I was listening to Adam Carolla. I guess America's number one podcaster. And I didn't have enough time to pull the audio. Perhaps by Sunday I will pull the audio. I'm sorry, by Saturday I will pull the audio. And he was, you know, riffing about certain things, kind of going back and forth to some stuff that happened on his show previously. And he was somewhat comical. I mean, he is a comedian, obviously, but he was somewhat comical, somewhat self-effacing, somewhat deferential, or I should say self-deprecating toward how he is viewed. And there was some list that came out with a list of people who lost popularity because of their politics, or people who are no longer popular, something to do with people not really being all that anymore or falling from grace because of their politics. He was like number two. Right, they mentioned Dennis Miller. They mentioned Stacey Dash. They mentioned a few people that I'd say 9/10 of the folks that were on this list had a conservative bent, and allegedly because they had this conservative bent, they were no longer popular. You have to be careful with this stuff. You have to read between the lines. You have to have discernment, folks. You have to have that third eye that the captain and myself talk about all the time. Adam Carolla broke this down fairly accurately. He said, wait a minute. I know Dennis Miller. For those who are unfamiliar with Dennis Miller, longtime comedian, was a liberal, now is more known for having a Republican/conservative bent, has a radio show, and he became known mostly from the weekend news segment on SNL, Saturday Night Live, in the early 80s. Very funny, mostly known for having a acerbic wit and an intellectual comedian. He will talk, just rattle off things very quickly in a very erudite, educated way, and you won't know, you will not catch his references. If you're not well read or have at least a bachelor's/master's, you probably won't catch some of his humor, because he'll reference something way out there that you have to be educated to understand his humor. That's kind of his shtick. Anyway, he said, wait a minute, I know Dennis. Dennis sells out shows. We've done shows together. And last time I checked, the last show we did, it was a packed house. He has a syndicated show. He makes X amount of money. I don't know what they're talking about. He went down the line with a few people that were allegedly lost favor, but they're making money. It reminds me of how they talk about Prince sometimes. Well, oh, Prince is, you know, he's no longer relevant. They do this to people. Well, you know, he's not in the radio, or he's not Kanye West, or he's not Rihanna. But Rihanna sometimes doesn't sell shows. People don't know this. Many of these acts that you see on TV all the time, when it comes down to what happens on the ground, the tickets don't sell sometimes. Many times the stadiums are half empty. I've gone to Prince concerts, packed. Packed, Captain. Sometimes you can't even get a Prince ticket, and the tickets are not cheap. But they'll tell you this man is lost; he's not relevant anymore, and yet he is paid millions of dollars to play not maybe if it's not Las Vegas, it's somewhere around the world in Europe. He does 20, I think last time, maybe 2 years ago in London, he had the infamous London tours, like 21 show, a UK 21, all 21 shows sold out. This man's not supposed to be relevant, though. So you have to be careful when people tell you when something isn't hot. Well, hot because of what? Based on what? What reference points are you using? That's why I'm very, very curious about how people arrive at certain conclusions when the data isn't in yet. The captain brought up something very, very important. What happens when these UK numbers come in, these European numbers and Asian numbers come in, and this movie still is a $300 million movie? In this country, because hey, Jack Black, as I said, Jack Black, people will forget, what's Gulliver's Travels? What's that? That's a stinker. $350 million. Almost all of it overseas, as if overseas doesn't count. That money still counts, though. Trust me. Just something to think about. Captain, I want to go to a quick musical break, if I may.
Music? You sure?
Well, you know what? No, that's not.
Let's just rock.
Because time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And again, folks, feel free to buzz in if you like. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Unfortunately, my systems are iffy. So we started off late, and that happens on occasion. Eventually, I will get new systems, and we'll be better prepared. We have guests coming through. You really don't want this to go down like that. So, but even on terrestrial and extraterrestrial, it still can happen. And it has happened, so it is what it is. I wanted to talk about, actually, Michelle Obama. I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit. We have topics, plenty of topics, obviously, but things happen right before you go on air. And I pulled a clip, if I could find it. It's somewhat of a hullabaloo, some hoopla has occurred with the First Lady, based on a heckler. Did you hear about this, Captain?
Yes, I did.
She was speaking at a private event, and some folks are saying she had a meltdown, which is not the case. But we live in a peculiar time, Captain. And I think this is why AfroNerd is so important. I will admit, I am obsessed with our show sometimes because I feel it's the last bastion of sanity. Because although I am a conservative, God forbid a man of color considers himself conservative, especially in this culture.
Can't do that.
In this landscape, you can't be contrarian. You just can't. Someone's going to pull your card on that. The Republicans are going in on her because they haven't learned that sometimes you can't toe the party line. Sometimes you're going to have to say, well, you know what? This time Michelle Obama did correctly. They never lay off on that, which makes them disingenuous. The media outlets, whether it's Fox or whether it's Rush Limbaugh, when they tell you something, they look at it through a false prism. Because I say this incessantly, Captain, a broken clock tells correct time twice a day. A broken clock tells the correct time twice a day, which means when you weigh in on your adversary, you're going to have to concede some things sometimes. Because if you don't, it comes off as if you are disingenuous. That's what makes Fox and some of these other outlets specious, makes them dubious at best when it comes to how they interpret the news. Anyway, they're laying waste into Mrs. Obama because of her essentially saying, "Hey, I don't have to deal with this." That's not a breakdown. That's not a blackout moment. She's being sophisticated about that. Now, the other side of this is what I mean by AfroNerd Radio being the last bastion of sanity. Right before we went on air, I just happened to listen to Mr. Rob Redding. I've been on the show a number of times as a caller, and we don't necessarily see eye to eye on things. He considers himself a progressive, but he's kind of going into Rush Limbaugh territory as well. So he was somewhat deferential to Mrs. Obama. He's not a fan of the Obamas. He doesn't think that they're black enough. I'm paraphrasing. Because President Obama said that I'm not the black president, and we knew what he meant by that. He can't be the black president. He has to be the president for the entire United States, and it would be a trap if he were to be the quote unquote black president. We know he's a president, the president who happens to be black, to be of color, but that position does not call for that. Yeah, you can't have him be the black president and then everybody else was just the president. That sounds crazy. He's the president just like Bush was the president, just like Reagan was the president, and so forth. Anyway, what was disturbing about what Redding was saying about Michelle Obama with this particular, she had a private gathering, and they were discussing children and a LGBT activist was quite disruptive and rude about wanting the president to sign gay rights into law, like to be done with it already, give gays equal rights, whatever that means, as if this president hasn't been wholesale vocal about the trials and tribulations of the gay community. It actually, in the eyes of many, over black folk, that his championing gay rights has been more pronounced than quote unquote black folks' rights, and yet and still, this activist felt that it wasn't enough, and felt that she was it was okay for her to disrespect the First Lady. Anyway, because get this, Captain, because Michelle Obama got a little nasty with this person, Rob Redding said, okay, that's the type of blackness we want to see. Barack Obama should take tips from his wife. Why isn't he acting like that? Now, this is what I mean, and what you say all the time, Captain, about these memes with urban radio. It's disturbing that there's a certain type of black. Everyone's been calling for this. Everyone has been calling. I shouldn't say everyone, but many, especially liberals, have been calling out Obama, especially what he was during his first term, going into the second one when they didn't think he was going to garner a second term. Bill Maher went there with this also, saying, we want a certain type of black person. Why isn't he acting the way I think a black person should be acting? And Rob Redding went into this same diatribe. Let me play this clip first, then we'll unpack second. Hold on. This is ABC News. First, actually discussing Susan Rice. Susan Rice, congratulations to her. She's been she's now the national security advisor, where she doesn't have to get Senate approval. The president just gave her that position. And they're going to talk about Susan Rice for a minute, and then they're going to talk about this heckler with Michelle Obama. Hold on.
ABC's John Carl, our chief White House correspondent. And John, we're just learning now that the president's national security advisor, Tom Donilon, is going to be replaced by UN Ambassador Susan Rice, of course, in the middle of that all that controversy over Benghazi.
That's right, George. Just a few minutes ago, a senior White House official told me that Donilon is out and Susan Rice is in, this will be something that certainly will capture the attention of Republicans. Susan Rice, of course, as you mentioned, was the one that went on the Sunday shows right after the attack in Benghazi and talked about it being something that came out of protests in Cairo, a very controversial set of Sunday show appearances. She's somebody Republicans don't like very much, but is very close to the president. Now she will be his national security advisor.
She has been with him right from the start, from the beginning of his presidential campaign. The president had even looked at her for possible pick as Secretary of State, and she will be a hard-nosed national security advisor.
She is a no-nonsense advisor. As you mentioned, one of the very first foreign policy advisors on the president's campaign, close to him even before he officially launched the campaign. She is tough. She is no-nonsense. And frankly, she was, early indications, the person the president wanted to put over as Secretary of State. Republicans made it clear they would do everything they could to block that. As National Security Advisor, she does not need Senate confirmation. The president is free to choose whoever he wants.
And speaking of no-nonsense, John, Michelle Obama last night, private fundraiser at a home in Washington, D.C., confronted by a gay rights activist, and she was having none of it.
One of the things that I don't do well is this.
And John, right after that, she basically walked right up to the heckler and went toe-to-toe.
This is something else, George. The heckler told us afterwards that she felt like the First Lady was just a few inches away from her face. What happened is she came down from the podium, approached the heckler, and said, you could hear a little bit of it in that tape, one of the things I don't do well is this, listen to me, or you can take the mic, but I'm leaving. You all decide, you have one choice. George, the crowd loved it. They started applauding. The heckler was removed, and the First Lady went on with her speech.
All right.
Big deal. Yeah?
Well, but you know what's going on here, Captain, which bothers me. I see we have a caller. Caller, hold on one moment. What gets me is why can't there be 100 different ways to be black? What is it with people? Well, they have to, I mean, listen, I tell you right now, let's say that black folks are like the seven dwarves, right? I'm going to be cerebral black. That's my choice. I'm going to be cerebral black. Let somebody else be, I don't know,
butt black.
Say it again.
You gotta have thug black in there.
Yeah, okay. Let someone be thug black. I'll be cerebral, a nerd black or whatever. I mean, you'll be contemplative black or whatever black you want to be. Let's have different type of black people. Why can't we do that? Rob Redding really, I know it's half shtick. That's how radio goes. I don't want to do that kind of radio, but it's half shtick and it stays one sided purposely. It's never nuanced. I like to do somewhat of a nuanced program so you can think. I'll give you a quick example. We're going to go to the phones. Staying on Barack Obama, President Obama, excuse me. For those who might vaguely remember this, this was a big issue at the time that President Obama was running. I believe it happened in 2008, when he was then Senator Obama. You had the Gina, Louisiana fiasco, the Gina 6 thing. Now, I'm not going to go into that case because of time constraints, but even that case, the way it was reported, was not completely accurate. It was a case about racism, about a student being, I believe, accosted. A noose was hung as some kind of symbolic thing. You know, it was references to racism from the 60s, and when you really get into the skeleton of that case, it was really about different occurrences being tied together to make it seem as if there was a timeline attached to this thing. I don't know if I'm making any sense, Captain, but bottom line is some of the story was somewhat fabricated by the media, somewhat. And if you remember, 50,000 black folks went down there to march. Michael Bazin was involved. Reverend Sharpton was involved. It was a perfect racial windstorm. And if obviously when it's a racial subtext, black folks are going to be motivated. The Chinese arithmetic that occurs when it's intraracial, we can't figure out. When it's interracial, we can figure it out. The equation seems to work for some reason when it's interracial. Let it be intraracial, we can't do it. We can't mobilize like that. Anyway, if you remember at that time, then-Senator Obama, mind you, there were other candidates on both sides of the political aisle that were running at the same time. Jesse Jackson talked about what will you do about this, you know, asking him these questions and it being somewhat confrontational. It was definitely a black litmus test kind of thing about Gina Six. Everyone was asking Obama, President Obama, or I should say Senator Obama, what should he do? What would you do? And I sat there. I said, wait a minute. Aren't there more people running? Why wouldn't you ask Hillary Clinton the same question? Why wouldn't you ask Romney that question? Why wouldn't you ask McCain that question? Everyone asked the black guy about the question as if, first of all, we don't know. We did not know at that time if he was going to garner the presidency. And also, whoever is going to be president, whoever is the president, you should have that same passion in asking for justice if that's what you were seeking in that case. No one questioned why you only asked the black guy. Other folks were running. Who cares who's in office? All these black folks, whether it's Tavis Smiley or Cornball West, any of these folks, they have the poverty tour. They're very confrontational. All these people, where were they when Bush was? You should be just as demanding. For certain rights, if that's what you're seeking, just as passionate with whoever is in that presidency. Now, watch what's going to happen. Folks are going to feel like they're going to lay low when the presidency is no longer occupied by a person of color. It's a certain degree of just being disingenuous in that. Now, that's what I mean by nuance on this show. No, I don't think I heard anyone bring that up during the Gina Six thing, Captain. Why are you asking the black guy about this when other folks are running? Ask everybody, what would you do? Nobody did that. I think it was the first time we saw something about Jesse Jackson, if I remember correctly. He questioned Barack Obama's blackness on that as well. He came with some questionable black pejorative toward the president on the Gina Six thing. Although one of the victims, quotes, in that Gina Six thing, went on to commit another criminal act or got into trouble again. Black folks, 50,000 of them, Captain, went to bat for this victim, and then that victim, a few months later, got into another altercation. It is what it is. Okay, I see our caller snapped off. Feel free to buzz on in. I was about to get you in. Caller or callers, the call-in number again is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. This is the Midweek in Review show. We're starting off a little bit late, unfortunately. What are your thoughts on that, Captain? And then we're going to go to another topic.
Well, they were doing the typical thing that they do, what I call grandstanding, race baiting. That's all. That's all they were doing. And that's what was necessary. And even the black people fall into it. They fall into it. Because they have those destructive means within themselves. They break out a ruler, comes out of their pocket, or should be a yardstick. And they say, okay, let me measure your level of blackness. And they come out with a Geiger counter, and then they say, let me measure your blackness. That's what they do. The caller has returned, sir. Let's get to the caller.
Okay, let's over the lines. And when we answer this, I think if there's enough time, I want to talk about should black folks collect black racist memorabilia. Incidentally, the Afro Nerd collects black racist memorabilia, and I'll explain why. Caller, welcome to Afro Nerd. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Kim Success, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Welcome.
Uh-oh,
welcome.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. This is Kim Success calling from Chicago.
Welcome.
Welcome. Well, I was just calling to say I really enjoy the show, and the topics that you have on today are really on point, you know, from talking about Will Smith and his son, you know, nobody else. Usually you can tell an actor from their parents. It's like, you know, the child of or the son of, you know, you assume that they're a good actor or that they have some type of experience, but, you know, they're not giving those props to Will Smith and his son. And, you know, on the Michelle Obama thing, I think she reacted very well to that, you know, being a private setting. And, you know, she just sounded like she just didn't have a day where she was going to deal with the heckler. And sometimes we have those days. So, you know, y'all are having good topics, and I'm really enjoying the discussion.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Is your first time listening or hearing about us? Or
yeah, first time listening. I connect with you and read about you on Black Blog, Bloggers Connect, but this is my first time listening.
Well, continue listening. We'll be back on Saturday, but we air Saturday and Wednesday. Saturday.
Okay, I will.
Wednesday at 7. So we appreciate your support. Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Captain, we got a few moments left. I want to talk about this Root article. I should say Henry Louis Gates, The Root, courtesy of The Root. And there's an article there called simply entitled, Should Blacks Collect Black Racist Memorabilia? Now, what they mean, now first you have to define what memorabilia is. Of course, you know, it's such a thing as, let me rephrase that. Should blacks collect racist memorabilia? We've got to define what that means, but obviously we're talking about exaggerated physical featured banks, photographs, or I should paintings. I mean, there's a number of things that were put out there for public consumption to dehumanize black people. And you can go to eBay and pick up a lot of these things. I have a few for coloreds only signs. I have a few for whites only signs. I placed a bid for a really rough piggy bank with an exaggerated black face on it. And I think it says nigger, quote unquote, nigger bank inscribed on it. This is something you could buy. You could buy through regular means, let's say 50, 60, 70 years ago. But there's a number of even household products that some are still sold in Asia. Darkie toothpaste. And it has a picture of an exaggerated caricature of a black person, and it says Darkie toothpaste. But there's all kinds of products that are out there. Now, some of these things I will admit I collect simply for educational purposes, because I think that we have a generation of folks that are completely unaware of this history. And if you decide, like some folks feel you should just burn this stuff, but where's the historical record if you burn it? You have to have these for colored signs. You know, you have to have them, because we're getting to the point now, as Lil Wayne has shown us, that if you rap about Emmett Till, and especially in a grotesque way, young folks, many of them came up to the captain and myself asking rather sincerely, who's Emmett Till? Or just telling us, I just found out his story. They had to find out who Emmett Till was through rappers who are dehumanizing the image of this victim. This tragic story. What are your thoughts on this, Captain? You've got about a minute and such remaining.
Well, I think a lot of the memorabilia is appalling, but at the same time, it's definitely educational. It's something that's necessary. And I think a lot of the young people, and us too, older people, and the ones older than us, it's a reminder. It needs to be seen. It needs to be seen, because once you see this, then you go, let me read something over here. Let me study this over here. That's what it does. And it reinforces, you know, a lot of the history. So I think it's something that, you know, people should definitely do. I think it's something that people should definitely do, even though it's rather appalling. But it is what it is. There
yes.
You go, Mr. Rappler.
Yeah, you know, well, perhaps I'll go into this a bit more on Saturday's show, folks. Again, we have the comic shop for those who are interested in comic books and sci-fi fantasy with the great Daryl B. That's at 6 p.m. Saturday. And at 7 o'clock, we have AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. All right, folks, we'll do it again on Saturday. Check us out. See you. This is Lemon Meringue, Fishbone, giving you the best of urban alternative music. See you on Saturday.
I'm